You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Welcome to this episode of Caring Connections. This is Nicole Bruno, your host. Joining me today is Cheryl Terrio, who is the president of Aging Family Services, and we are going to be discussing caregiving and caregiving guilt. Welcome, Cheryl.
Good morning, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here today. I'm obviously very passionate about this topic and can't wait to hear how you're going to enlighten us today about caregiving. So let's talk about numbers. How many people in the U.S. are caring for family members today?
It is absolutely amazing the extent of caregiving being done by family members. One out of eight people in this country are caring for someone who is either aging or in ill health.
Wow. And what does this caregiver look like? What's their age?
These people are usually in between the ages of 40 and 60,
okay.
Although I really believe that this is creeping up. Mm-hmm. As people are growing older into mm-hmm. their 90s more and more, those people who are in their 60s are and providing care are aging also.
And I will stand here to tell you it's creeping down, too, because I was caregiving in my 20s and 30s. So it's creeping all over. It's like a kudzu.
It is.
It's just everywhere, definitely. And when you say caregiving, what is caregiving?
Well, these are people, I think two different things can happen. Mm-hmm. Something dramatic happens. Someone's in an automobile accident mm-hmm. or they fall and break a hip and mm-hmm. they end up in the hospital. That's dramatic, chaotic. It just changes everybody's lives.
Yeah.
Yes. So people can become caregivers responding to those kinds of life events. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there are people who start doing one thing. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'll take a meal over to my parents mm-hmm. once a week on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will get their medications and mm-hmm. fill their medicine
boxes. Bring in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bring in the mail. Then I will start monitoring the mail because I'm not sure that they're taking care of the bills.
Okay.
And then I realize that they have on dirty clothes, so I start bringing their laundry home uh-huh. because I don't think they're taking care of keeping up with that kind of thing. And it just adds one piece and one piece and one piece over time
yeah.
until people just find their lives have been consumed now. They're really caregivers, and they're not quite sure how they got there.
So these simple tasks are caregiving tasks. It's not just the helping mom with a shower or helping mom with her hair or that kind of thing. It's actually doing some of these additional tasks. And I'm wondering if people who are caregivers who are listening today would have never viewed that until they heard that definition from you.
Could be, because as you're well aware, I mean, we talk about two different things. We talk about activities of daily living, which are those personal things mm-hmm. like bathing and dressing mm-hmm. and using the bathroom. But there are those instrumental activities mm-hmm. of daily living, such as shopping and meal preparation and medication management and financial management and transportation mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. keeping appointments. So all of those things are things that each of us has to do on a daily basis or a weekly basis to be able to live independently.
Interesting. So why is it important for those providing care to take care of themselves?
Well, as I said, I think that there is an analogy. You've probably heard it. It's called the frog in the pot of warm water.
I have not heard that one. Do tell.
If you throw a frog in a pot of boiling water, it'll jump out because it's going, oh, I'm not going to burn up and boil to death.
Yeah.
But if you put a frog, now this is an analogy. Don't try this at home. If you put a frog in a pot of warm water and just slowly raise the temperature and slowly raise the temperature, they're unaware of the danger and that the it's getting warmer and warmer, and they will just sit there until they are boiled to death.
Oh, wow.
And that same analogy, I think, happens when people start doing those things I was talking about, where you do one thing and then it's two things and then it's three things and then it's 10 things, and you don't really recognize the danger to your own sanity, to your own life, to your own responsibilities, to your job, your husband, your children. Mm-hmm. It's essential for people who are providing care to recognize that they have to take care of themselves. I say this with adult children, and I also say it with a spouse taking care of a spouse, because people try so hard to take care of their loved ones, and if it's to the detriment of their own health, they end up getting sick, maybe hospitalized, and the very thing that they were trying to prevent from happening ends up happening. Someone ends up having to be placed because I'm in the hospital and I can't take care of you anymore.
And, you know, I think it's true. I don't think you realize how all-consuming caregiving is until that caregiving journey ends.
Exactly.
Then when it ends, you're suddenly standing there and there's this silence that's almost deafening, and you're thinking, well, what do I do? And you didn't realize you had all this free time before. You didn't know it existed, even though you're still busy with all the other aspects of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what are some of the other responsibilities that some caregivers have in addition to the ones you were talking about?
Well, I think that so many people are trying to work a full-time job, and not just a job, but a profession, and are very committed to doing what needs to be done at work, but they have children, and so in the mornings, they're trying to take care of the children, get them off where they need to go, then they go to work all day, come home, try to take care of the children's extracurricular activities. They have a spouse that has some needs from
poor spouse.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that what happens is that these people lose the sense of themselves. Mm-hmm. They're so busy taking care of everybody else and their responsibilities to everybody else that they lose themselves somewhere along the line.
It's so true. I remember when I was caregiving for my grandfather, and when all that ended in the end, I remember I was standing after I took a shower, and I just happened to like catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror, and I thought, I can't even remember the last time I looked at myself. And I mean, I had a baby. Baby was delivered. Baby was 6 months old. I don't even think I noticed like the transformation my body made, because I was just so busy doing task after task after task after task. And I thought, wow, I'm not pregnant anymore. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. It just takes on a life of its own.
It sure does. It sure does. Well, we are going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Cheryl Terrio, who is the president of Aging Family Services, and we are going to be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM, WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Cheryl Terrio, who is the president of Aging Family Services, and we are talking about caregiving. Okay, let's talk a little bit about sort of more of the emotional side of caregiving. I've heard a lot of caregivers talking about feelings of guilt and anger and resentment. Talk to me a little bit about that and how people can address those feelings.
Yes, unfortunately, no matter what you do, no matter how much you do, you're feeling guilty.
Aren't we always, especially women,
yes,
with a capital G across our chest?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are we doing enough?
Uh-huh.
Are we doing too much?
Did we do it soon enough?
Is my parent being well cared for, being well looked after, whether it's caregivers in their home or whether they're in a facility receiving care somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I probably should have had them come to live with me, but I really, that just wasn't an option. Guilt over, well, like you said, just guilt.
Yeah. Plain old guilt.
Plain old guilt.
And then also, I think part of the guilt is not spending enough time with the spouse, the children, the grandchildren. I mean, then you're you're feeling that way too, because then you're feeling guilty about not spending time with them.
Exactly. And then you're feeling guilty because you're letting some things slip on your job. And
then you're feeling guilty for feeling guilty.
Exactly.
Because people tell you shouldn't feel guilty.
Exactly. So. And I've had so many people tell me, I just want my parent to be happy.
Yeah.
And I ask them, well, have they always been happy during their lives? And when they say, no, they've never been happy, I say, well, how can you be responsible for their happiness then?
That's true.
We've got to deal with this guilt stuff. Sometimes it's a good idea to get some professional counseling or talk with other people about it. Support groups are a great avenue for being able to talk about all of these feelings.
Definitely. Now, anger and resentment, and I facilitate some support groups in the area. You know, that is common, a thread of the support group, just feeling angry about the lot in life. You know, perhaps I'm a child who just retired, and now I had this vision of taking these nice vacations or just relaxing, and now suddenly I have to take care of my parents, and now that's my next full-time job. How do we help caregivers with these feelings of anger and resentment, and is it normal?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, it's very normal. Like you said, some of that anger is, you know, the life you envision for yourself. Mm-hmm. And many people are just beginning their retirement when the phone rings and the caregiving journey begins.
Yeah.
There's also anger, I think, sometimes about financial issues. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you're helping more and more with finances with your parents. There's anger at siblings who aren't stepping up to the plate to help. There's all the unresolved issues of parent-child.
The past, the skeletons in the closet.
Exactly.
Everyone just assumes that, you know, everything was great with the childhood growing up, and that's not necessarily the truth.
Exactly. And so it's understandable that someone would resent trying to take care of their parent when their parent really didn't do such a good job of taking care of them while they were growing up. Mm-hmm. That there are these unresolved issues of a critical parent or
abusive,
and all that sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to get people on the same page and to agree things is it's a very difficult task, especially when one person is in charge of making the decisions, but everybody else is supposed to be on board and everybody's pulling in different directions.
One of the interesting comments you brought up was financial burden. I think it's a very common myth that most people who are caregivers are trying to do things to preserve the money that their parents saved so that they could inherit that money. Now, in some cases, that may be true, but I think in a lot of cases, these people who are the caregivers take on a huge financial burden and end up paying for a lot of the costs of this caregiving journey. Would you say that's true, statistically speaking?
It is. I really do think that it's all those uncovered things. People don't really understand what Medicare does and doesn't pay for and what private health insurance does and doesn't pay for. There are a lot of things that are needed to support people in their homes or even in facilities that have to be paid for privately.
And just the cost of your time. In general, too. Hours and hours a week of just that caregiving that if you were paying somebody else would amount to.
Exactly. And I think some of the resentment and anger is at the parents themselves for not doing a better job of planning for their own aging. Mm-hmm. I think the adult children today are in a much better position to understand what it's going to take for us to be okay as we grow older, whereas our parents, either they didn't plan for their future or they didn't talk to us about their plans for the future. So we don't have any idea what kind of plans they have, if any.
Definitely. What about fear and loss?
I think that when we are not sure what lies down the road, when a parent has been in and out of the hospital three times in 1 year, we're fearful. Their health is declining. We don't know what's going on. It's very challenging to deal with that. There's also the fear that our parents are really the people that stand between us and mortality. So when they are gone, we're the front lines.
We're the next one up.
Next one's facing the grim reaper, actually. The loss can be a slow progression, especially if someone has some cognitive issues, mm-hmm. or Parkinson's, mm-hmm. or ALS, any of these long, dragged out illnesses, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, where you're losing them
bit by bit.
Mm-hmm. But they're still there. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. I think grief is complicated, mm-hmm. when there's a long journey of loss before the person actually physically dies.
I think people grieve along the way in those cases, for mm-hmm. sure.
Definitely.
So in your experience as a geriatric social worker with Aging Family Services, do caregivers experience more depression and anxiety than non-caregivers?
They do. Mm-hmm. Statistically, it is shown that there is more depression. Mm-hmm. The people are juggling all these balls in the air, trying to keep their heads above water, and they start experiencing some of the symptoms of depression and anxiety, waking up in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. Appetite changing, lack of interest in activities that they previously enjoyed, just changes.
Well, this has been some great information so far, Cheryl. We are going to be right back. Joining me again today is Cheryl Terrio from Aging Family Services, talking about caregiving and guilt that is sometimes associated with caregiving as well. We will be right back.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM, WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Cheryl Terrio, who is the president of Aging Family Services, a geriatric care management company. All right, Cheryl, before we get into some of the resources and a little bit more about your company, I often hear people talking about, what issues to tackle. You hear this commonly when working with children. What battles do I fight? Similarly, what battles do we pick and fight when we're working with our loved ones?
I think that really the bottom line is safety. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult when people are caregiving and they're seeing changes in their loved one,
yeah.
and they try to treat them like they always have treated them and talk to them like they always have talked to them, especially with someone with cognitive loss.
Yeah.
And I try to encourage them. You don't have to remind them today is Tuesday. Yeah. You don't have to remind them that this is 2014.
That you just had kicks for breakfast.
Exactly, exactly. What you do need to remind them is the safety issues. And you need to ensure that the safety issues are in place. So if someone is prone to wandering, there need to be some locks on the doors that they're not able to unlock so that they can walk out of the house, mm-hmm. and get lost and mm-hmm. Be in danger. So safety is always the bottom line. Parents living alone and really needing help but refusing to accept any help, that's a bottom line safety issue.
That's to get the doctors involved and,
exactly.
and people like you. And the last few seconds we have left, you have a couple of other resources for us that you'd like to share?
I do. I think it's important for people to know about Alzheimer's North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They offer on-site consulting. They have a resource library. They also have multiple support groups that they will share with people what support groups are going on, mm-hmm. where in the community.
Great.
The Guiding Lights Resource Center, mm-hmm. and operating out of Raleigh, is a caregiver support information referral. They have a huge library there. They offer some hands-on training classes.
Great.
For caregivers. And
the 36-hour day, I see you have
written
down.
Yes. It's an old book, but I think it's still
it's
a standard.
Oldie but goodie. Yes.
I think it's still like the Bible. It's like the standard of helping people understand. And when you think about 36-hour day, the day only has 24.
Yeah, but you do 36 hours of work in it, for sure.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Cheryl. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. You were a wealth of information, and I'm sure a lot of people got a great amount of tidbits from you. And if you want more, you now know how to get a hold of her. Again, as always, you may email your caring questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.